KXFM in Laguna Beach. I'm Tyler Russell. And as mentioned today, we're going to do a series of interviews with notable folks in our local community about how the COVID-19 pandemic or the coronavirus is impacting them and impacting us here locally. So kicking us off this morning, I've got Dawn Price. She's the executive director of the Friendship Shelter on the phone with us. Hi, Dawn.
Hi, Tyler. How are you?
Well, I'm good. And I want to ask first, how are you? How's the family? How's the household? Where are you? Are you okay?
Everyone is fine. We are practicing all of the social distancing requests and requirements. And so our administrative staff are trying to work from home as much as you can. So I'm speaking to you from my kitchen table right now.
That's new.
Dogs barking in the background.
Yeah.
Everyone is well.
Okay, great. And I know you guys are right next door to Chapman. I suppose everybody there, it's just like a ghost town on campus, I would guess, right?
It's getting there. There's still quite a few students that live here and, you know, are just sheltering in place like the rest of us. So,
right.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, you know, I do want to talk about, you know, how the Friendship Shelter financially and as a nonprofit is going to be impacted by this. But first of all, I want to talk about our local homeless population. Talk to me about what the local shelters are looking like right now, what the feeling is among the local homeless, and what you know about the virus and whether anyone, you know, is exhibiting it or has the potential to get it.
You bet. Well, I'll start by saying that we are so well connected as shelter providers to good information, and we have guidance from HUD, we have guidance from the CDC, we have guidance from our county healthcare agency, as well as great support from the local hospitals, community clinics. All of those resources are really helping us understand the best way to provide good shelter care. Our primary goal always is the health and safety and well-being of the homeless men and women who depend on us. And so we are trying to make the shelters as safe and comfortable and welcoming environment as we can with these increased measures that we are all needing to take in our lives. I will say, you asked how people are. I spent some time in both shelters yesterday dropping off some cleaning supplies, and I think those shelters were probably the most normal and calm environments I've been in over the last several days. And we're kind of blown away as staff. We're kind of blown away by that. And our working hypothesis is that our clients are used to working in their lives with less than is ideal, and being in emergency situations and having things be less than comfortable and less than perfect. And we are learning from them every day that you can stay calm in the storm and you can rely on each other. So it's actually a great thing. I actually tweeted out yesterday that all admin people in homeless services organizations should spend a little bit of time in their shelter to remind themselves why they do what they do, because it was wonderful to see everybody yesterday. We're doing some extra things, of course. We've increased all of our already robust cleaning and sanitizing practices. We are working to, as you may know, and certainly anyone who's visited the ASL knows, it's a pretty crowded environment, working to practice as much social distancing as we can and getting creative around those kinds of things. I do want to stress, we don't have anyone in either shelter who's exhibited symptoms or had to be tested. We, of course, are watching for that. We're actually taking temperatures at the door. If you or I were to walk at the door, they would take our temperatures. So we're trying to make sure that anyone who enters either facility is screened. And our staff are doing a great job in rolling with protocols that, frankly, are changing daily. And so just as we think we've got the right memo to them, something else needs to be communicated, and everyone's been really great.
So is it possible for people who are living in the shelter right now or spending nights there to quarantine themselves there, or do they still have to go out during the day?
We have extended hours at the ASL, and our Coast Highway facility has always been 24/7. So we are encouraging and certainly allowing people to stay in the facility as much as possible. Just as you or I would take a walk maybe or something like that, that's something that we are encouraging, but we're also trying to practice, model, and teach the best strategies to stay safe. And that, for all of us, includes staying close to home.
Okay. And then I know you can't necessarily speak to the homeless population you don't have direct contact with, but people who are living on the streets or living on the beach, how do we know that they're getting access to the right information right now?
Yeah, that's the outreach workers from the county are working on that. I know the county efforts, I'm chair the shelter group within the Orange County Continuum of Care Board. So I've been in contact with the county staff, and they're working very hard on more temporary shelter beds so that no one has to be outside, as well as the very daunting task, but important task, of finding temporary places that could be isolation and even quarantine or even mild symptom treatment shelter placements for people if we do have people that start experiencing symptoms or having a positive test. So that is a system-wide, county-wide priority that I know they're working very hard to meet.
Yeah. There has been a lot of national discussion that, of course, because, you know, a homeless person lives completely differently than somebody who's able to quarantine themselves in their house or their apartment, that if a homeless encampment or a shelter or something did exhibit somebody with an infection, that could be one of the worst spreads, like a nursing home style spread. Do you see that as Yes. potentially being devastating if it were to happen?
We're very aware of that, and so we would want to act quickly, and we do have protocols in place. If someone were to begin exhibiting symptoms, we do have protocols in place to mask them immediately, get them to a healthcare provider immediately. Unanswered, though, is this question that I know there's a lot of attention toward, but is yet not an answer, is where that person should go
Yeah.
if they're not sick enough to be hospitalized. We certainly don't want that person unnecessarily hospitalized just because they're homeless and don't have somewhere else to be. But at the same time, we can't have that person come back to the shelter.
Yeah, because the main advice is if you're not having trouble breathing and you just have a cough or a little fever,
yeah.
don't take up a hospital bed. But where's a homeless
right.
person
don't even
to go?
Go in.
Yeah, where can
yeah.
a homeless person go? Very good
yeah.
question.
Exactly. You're having the same conversation with me that I've had four or five times daily with various entities, helping them understand that the guidance for the average person isn't going to work for our homeless population. And so we do have to have alternative options. Now, we have a roadmap to follow, and we're very fortunate by the excellent work that the King County Homeless Services System put in place, and the resources they got in place in a very short period of time in King County, Washington, the Seattle area. And so we can follow what they put together. They commandeered empty hotels. They created, they brought in trailers. They created all sorts of alternate placements so that they yeah. were able to work with this population in the case of people becoming sick. So we have good advice and we have a good roadmap. It took them 11 days. I don't think we're 11 days in here in terms of at least not in the part of our process here in Orange County where we are really focused and expecting to have more people sick. So
right.
I'm confident that our county's working really hard on this.
If one of your shelter residents does get sick, is that something you're going to report to the press or anything like that?
I haven't thought that through.
Okay.
Actually, you know, I'm... pretty distracted with making sure we operate things well. I don't think I would make a public announcement that our ASL is connected to the city, so that we would make the city aware. We are riding the you know, the narrow sort of space between responding to the community's need for their own public health concerns and protecting the private medical information that we're legally required to protect
right.
for our clients.
Right.
So it wouldn't be my first step to make
yeah.
a public declaration, but I can tell you that we are also limiting or pretty much stopping any non-staff exposure into the shelter. So we're not having volunteers come in. Our meal service volunteers, who have been terrific thus far, are dropping the food at the door, so they're not coming in. So the impact on the community for a shelter stayer to be sick would be pretty minimal.
Yeah. Okay, and then finally, again, Don Price, Executive Director of the Friendship Shelter here in Laguna, on the phone with us. I want to ask what locals can do to help you guys during this trying time as you provide these invaluable services to keep our homeless population safe. And, you know, in general, touch on how this is going to impact your year of fundraising.
I don't think any of us know how it's going to impact our full year.
Yeah.
Immediate needs, like everybody else. We are low on soap, Clorox wipes, hand sanitizers, bleach, non-perishable food. We need to be able to feed an evening meal if a volunteer group unexpectedly can't get there. So we do need to have some non-perishable food on site. We also need non-perishable food for our housing clients, who each live in their own home and so can shelter in place, can stay in their homes, but may not have access to food, especially in the limited quantities we're seeing in our grocery stores. We need financial contributions to continue to provide our meal program. We expect that the volunteer provided meal program may be impacted as more people can't leave their homes or don't feel they could. Many of our volunteers are older themselves and shouldn't be leaving their homes at this point. And so we're looking for financial contributions, and we're hoping to use those contributions to purchase those meals at local restaurants who are impacted and provide some business for those local restaurants. So we're really looking to maybe provide a double benefit with those financial contributions. Our goal is to raise $50,000. We put a urgent request out yesterday to have those resources to be able to feed everyone for the next 2 months if we weren't able to have volunteer provided meals.
So how would people do those two things? How do they bring you food, bleach, you know, whatever, and how do they donate?
You bet. They can drop off a supply really easily and without going into the shelter. If they drive through the alleyway behind our, I think it's called Goff Street. No, I'm wrong. But there's an alley behind our Coast Highway facility, right there on, you go down mountain and you can turn into the alley. If you drive by our facility there, there's an open garage door where supplies can be dropped off. So you don't have to come into the shelter and you don't have to interact with anyone. You can just leave those wonderful, precious things. We'd appreciate that. To make a donation online, we have you can go to friendshipshelter.org and click on the donate link and make a donation right there online. You can also look at our social media. There's a direct link to the giving page for this effort on our social media.
Great. Don Price, Executive Director of Friendship Shelter, providing such invaluable work in this difficult time. And thank you for keeping all of that afloat. We sure appreciate you.
You bet. We appreciate you, too. What you're doing is very important right now as well. We all need good information.
Thanks, Dawn. All right. Well, stay safe and enjoy quarantine. We'll talk to you soon.
All right.
Okay.
Take care.
Bye-bye. Coming up next, our next interview today in this series is going to be with Heidi Miller. She's a longtime retail owner here in Laguna Beach, currently owning Tide Assets and The Newsstand. We'll talk to her about the impacts of this coming up.